Alleluia, la la. Alleluia, Yashiru kula. Bemila achat bo toda, halev male bahamon toda, veholem gam hu eize olam nifla. Alleluia, im hashir. Alleluia, al yom shaleim. Alleluia, al ma shehaya ya, u ma sheol lo haya. Alleluia.
Shalom, 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 שלום שרק יבוא. אני נולדתי לשלום שרק יופיע. אני רוצה להיות פרבוס. אני נולדתי לשלום שרק יגיע. אני נולדתי לשלום שרק יבוא. אני נולדתי לשלום שרק יופיע. אני רוצה להיות פרבוס. אני נולדתי לשלום שרק יגיע. אני נולדתי לשלום שרק יבוא. אני נולדתי לשלום שרק יופיע. אני רוצה להיות פרבוס.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here. Nice and rainy, and, you know, thought I'd play a little bit of music from our friends there in Israel. And you know, the Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah is about to come up, today, so thought I'd play a little bit of the good music. And anyway, there's a couple things. I won't talk in depth about it today, but I was fortunate enough to see, and there might be an explanation for it. Saw a handy van driving down Kalaneaneole Highway, towing a fishing boat. Now, I don't know if that service extends to that, so I really can't tell you. But it's kind of strange when there are people waiting and reporting that they're dialysis, and they can't make their appointments, and many emergency things or critical needs, those that use this. And here's a nice fishing boat being towed. And, you know, something's strange about that, right? Now, I actually went and contacted the candy van folks. And, you know, as usual, anything related to government, you hurry to them and they wait for you. So we'll see next week. Hopefully they give me a call back. We have the van number and all of that. And just curious, and there may be a rational explanation or a person, a client of the handy van may be needing a boat or flooded his house and needed to float, you know, who knows? But I hope it's a good one, because it would be a shame that an employee would be utilizing a handy van to drive and tow a private boat. Now, I don't know if it's a private one or what have you. We'll run the HA numbers, but we have the van number, and we've given that to the handy van people. But wouldn't it be a downright shame that we're lending ourselves to this kind of practice? But anyway, there are many other things. We're still looking at that PCB at Makalapa Elementary School. And I've already covered this extensively, sharing with some while back, maybe a year back, where we disclose and pictures and photographs and documents. One of the contractors have already told the state DOE that a lot of the electrical wiring systems wouldn't support computers or building bigger computer rooms. And some of the junction boxes or fuse boxes were illegal or had been made illegal or prohibited to use them. They were dangerous and would catch fire or set fire. And so the DOE has been dragging its feet, and where they were told to, they need to, that some of these items had no life in them, they needed immediate repair, the DOE drug its feet. And what we found is, now, this puts me in a predicament where it may sound like I'm insensitive or I'm not telling them what they're doing, what they should do, but I notice things that get immediate care is track and field and the sporting stadiums, but they can't put money into the importance that they assign or the degree of importance they assign to classroom conditions and climates where you're actually learning. And I know we need strong muscles and build bodies and all of that, but I'm just concerned that this thing called sports, there's a business somewhere. I hope there's someone would do a study to reflect what is the real benefit other than, you know, building the strong muscles in the body and giving some exercise and toning. Is there a financial benefit to this culture of people that has control over the sports? Because I notice in many of their programs, many of them, they talk about repairing the track and field, And even Abercrombie released back in March of 2014, he released a press release and stating that he released a $65.6 million for public school improvement. And if you look at much of that, during that time, Kaiser High School head football coach Rich Shimano said, "This project will have an immediate impact on our schools that use Kaiser Athletics facilities as their home venue." We see at Radford High School, they're building a track and field there. We see that at Farrington campus, they did track and field, campus modernization. The project will start to upgrade athletic facilities and include a new synthetic track and field. The American with Disabilities issues didn't get really addressed that much, but throughout this one, and I'm just using this, not picking on Abercrombie, but $4,850,000 to Kaiser High School girls' athletic locker room. Design and construction funds for new athletic locker and shower facilities for female students. Now, I'm not disagreeing that we don't need or saying that, but we're stuck between stupid and just nonsense when it comes to putting air conditioners in school rooms. But I guess you can say the intentions here is that sweat them and get them funky and then just throw them back in the room, and maybe that breeds a better, but they can go back into the classroom refreshed and sweat. And something's wrong here. I mean, I don't know if that wasn't eloquent, but something stinks about it anyway. Pahoa High School Intermediate Gym, Hawaii Islands, design and construction funds for renovation and expansion of school's gymnasium. And I know you probably would love to call me up and go, "What the heck don't you get about this? We need strong minds and strong bodies and strong muscles to make people to be able to serve food at the big rich restaurants or whatever for the tourist trade." I don't know. But what about putting air conditioners in the rooms and making that a priority and then claim they don't have any money? And when you look at this and you just have to ask yourself, what is it that they can't get done? Pearl City Elementary, electrical upgrades. One of the few times they talk about the electrical upgrades. But once again, if you're going to put massive air conditioning in, you need to upgrade your electrical system. Well, this report that we have from Jacobs and some of the other stuff that we were privy to shows that the infrastructure is just not there. That is one of the reasons they are not putting air conditioners or big units. So we have everybody running around now in desperate mode to place air conditioners in. And that should have been priorities one, the governor and everyone else at allocating money. At Campbell High School, electrical upgrades. You see, so it's been there. But no one, they needed to design at Honovai Elementary School, new classroom building. Oahu designed funds for building with 8 classrooms, restrooms, a faculty workroom, and a custodial closet. But nothing in there that says anything about air conditioners. Now, some of these schools already have air conditioners, but many of them are old and needed. Some of the panels, telecommunication system, and electrical outlets. $755,000 for Waipahu High Track and Field Facility improvements. Are we getting this? I mean, who's the priorities? Maybe I don't understand business or something, but when you see with the high heat conditions that we have in the past month, you would think they would anticipate this kind of thing. So here's another one, Pearl City, $550,000. Track and field facility improvements. The project will start the design phase of a new synthetic track and field. How about an igloo air conditioner or something? An old cinder track and grass field presently exists, and this project will allow for a competition track venue in the Leeward District. So there must be some kind of benefit or profit to certain groups of people, because I can't imagine to be so blatant and so having little regard for the conditions, the learning conditions that will be suitable for learning. And you are, instead, you're building track and fields and synthetic tracks so that they can. And here's at Hilo Intermediate, new PE locker room renovations. Funds to replace and renovate the PE locker room and shower facilities. Is it more important in this state, apparently, to not to stink than think? Something's wrong. It's something's terribly wrong. You cannot tell me that you can spend this amount of money that would allow you to have classrooms with 30, 40 students in it and no air conditioner. The Kanoalani Elementary portable classroom they're going to build there. They've allocated money. But again, Kaiser High School, track and field, synthetic track and field surface at the school to replace aged synthetic track and grass field. No air conditioners. Campbell High School, Waianae, Nanakuli, and those schools. Why couldn't we see that money being directed there? And it just goes on and on and on. Here, the project, and this is at Waipahu High Campus, retaining wall. Well, that's okay. We don't want the wall collapsing on children. But again, Waikele Elementary, play courts, resurfacing, new playground installation, Oahu. This project is to resurface the basketball court and replace aged, outdated, and non-functioning play equipment in order to provide age-appropriate pre-kindergarten playground equipment. Am I placing a value on this, or am I just ignorant to what is really needed? Or should I just shut up, or am I just making trouble? But it begs these questions. How can we do this and allocate such monies? And yet, you turn on the evening news, there's an effort. People are begging for donations, and we're asking private companies to do what the government should have done. But again, that's just me. Something got to give. Something really has to give. But anyway, I got a I mean, you know that I've always been working on the Hawaiian homelands issues and trying to do what I can to make things right so that the people that are the beneficiaries of the Hawaiian homelands administration, the program that it's intended for, that it be done properly and the right people deserving of it should get it. And the backdrop here is, and I know it's, there's always this, there's this group of people that go, well, you're an outsider and you need to butt out. And as you see, some of them hit me over the side of the head because I guess I should have butt out when I stuck my head in the wrong place. But the reality is we will sit here in Hawaii and include everybody in the population and we'll bitch and moan about what they're doing in Syria, what they're doing here. But when it comes to telling the people here, our own kind, what we're doing wrong, we tend to jettison that thought and leave it because I guess the convenience or maybe the relationships or that we have friends or relatives. But the reality is people that are unjustly and unfairly treated and not getting their just dues are being this measly compensation for a wrong that has been committed on the Hawaiian people. We all should speak up. But Jos Masagatani, now it's William Isla, but you know they put in Young, the guy that was a city council, worked for Nestor Garcia, and he then found his way over there at the Hawaiian homeland. So the importance that they give to Hawaiian homelands and making sure the people that are deserving it, that it is intended for, get it. They don't. They squander it. So my efforts in all of this, you see Jos Masagatani, and she is the director now of the Hawaiian Homelands. Abercrombie appointed, and then the governor retainer, the current governor retainer. But it's the same old crap. It's the same old abuse of authority, same old hiding, not addressing the real issues, not aggressively pursuing and trying to do what's right by the Hawaiians. And I know there's a lot of personal experience in there, but I have knots to show that I know what I'm talking about. And many of us out there, we won't challenge that. And when she was appointed, I look at the parade of people. All of the upstanding locals in the community came in to support her, while others were saying, no, this is not right. But my efforts, and we'll talk extensively about it, but what I wanted to share with you is in my efforts as a citizen of the state, and even if I wasn't, there's the UIPA, the Uniform Information Practices Act, operated by the Office of Information Practices, in force, I should say, or directed. And in order to see what is really going on many of these instances, who's getting the leases of state land, of Hawaiian homelands, and who's paying for what, and what is being done on these lands, and how did a person get it? Is that person's background? Does it satisfy the state requirements that you must be a certain percentage of Hawaiian? So in doing this, I file Uniform Information Practices Act requests, or some call it in the federal level, FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. This is not a foreign item, so you, sitting there at home, can actually do the same that I've done. There's nothing unique about it. And all you have to do, if you want to get information on a specific subject, a specific vote, a specific action, or a matter that you want to learn more about or educate others about and yourself, or to see if they are actually operating by the rules that benefit the people that it is intended for, and not renting it to people from Mars who flew in overnight and needed something to plop down because they got a $60 billion contract because they know the governor. And here your aunties and aunts have been trying to get a lease for 1,000 years, and they're waiting another 99-year wait. So you can ask for that information. And what I did, I asked for Malama Solomon and the Solomon family. This is just one of many. And to look to see if the things that I'd been told and informed that there were special favors being given, special exemptions being given, because she had, quote, political connections. But I don't know if that's a valid description, because if Abercrombie is your political connection, you see what happened to him. We severed his line. So you really, it's not political connection. It's just taking your chances and your risk, because sooner or later the light goes on and things are revealed. And so he's gone. But Malama Solomon, remember, she was appointed and serving as a senator from the Big Island. And she, I think she was voted in one. I don't really recall all the political aspect of it. But I wanted to know. And then there was Stuart Hanchett we brought to you. If you read the Star Advertiser, they'll tell you they uncovered it and what have you. But we're not in the business of being first. We want to just be accurate and give you and inform you and try to make a difference. So Hanchett and others. This Uniform Information Practices Act that I filed was to ask that information, and I will share with you. And this is a document. It's an opinion, and you can find it. We'll post it at carolcox.com. And that document is the decision that I appeal when I file for documents on the Uniform Information Practices Act. I requested records relating to many things on the Solomon, Malama Solomon issue, or her leases. And I was denied a great portion of it. I was given the lease, but I was denied other things that I was interested, that I believe and felt that I had a right to. So Masagatani, Joby, Masagatani, and the other people that hang out over there, call themselves administrators, but more or less just gatekeepers, was just basically told me, no, you can't have this information. Go away, in the most unsophisticated fashion. Wouldn't even bother to write me at first. I had to beg him, well, you need to give me some kind of written formal document so that I can exercise my rights, due diligence, or appeal it if I desire to. Due process. I can't go to OIP and say I filed this request and you refuse to give it to me, but you're not giving me any basis. So I want to see what actions you are denying me. So finally they did. And based on that, using that denial and the basis for the justification, that they, it was feeble though, and some parts of it they were accurate. But I appealed it and asked the Office of Information Practices to review this and see if their release of information and withholding of information adhere to the rules of this state, public records. And so basically, again, if you have any questions about this later on, you can call in and we can talk, or if you have other questions. And the Office of Information, this is a subject, is Lease File Appeal 13-8. The agency is Department of Hawaii and Homelands, and the requester is myself, Carol Cox. Requester seeks a decision as to whether the Department of Hawaii and Homelands, DHHL, properly denied its access to records from DHHL lease file under Part 2 of the UIPA. Unless otherwise indicated, this decision is based solely upon the facts presented by in requester's email correspondence of May 7th, 2013. Now, pay attention to that date, guys. Justice has a slow process, but if you're patient, it'll come to you in one form or another. But it'll present itself, and there are some benefits to being patient. But again, I'm asking for this information practically 2 years ago. And so to shield and cover up some of the things and the information, Masagatani chose to do just that under her administration and her guidance. Unless otherwise indicated, the decision is based solely upon that date and attached materials. DHHL's letter to OIP dated June 10th, 2013, and attached materials and email correspondence to OIP from H.K. Bruce Capella, Esquire, representing Flora Beamer Solomon Lease, lessee, and attached materials. The records at issue is the appeal. In this appeal do not include the DHHL lease itself, which is made public without exception by Section 92F-12. So, again, I'm going to try and share with you and enlighten you. Some of you may have interest in researching your land or your lease, or your mother may have had a lease, and you can't get anybody over there at the DHHL to tell you the truth or work with you. So this letter, this ruling, is I'm going to share this with you so that it may enlighten you and you don't have to be at the mercy of people that are really holding you off at the front door while they're giving everything away in the back door. So you still have rights. I believe for the beneficiary, the Hawaiian beneficiary, I believe even given this clammy climate, sleazy I should say, the way they treat the issues of Hawaiian issues in the DHHL, I believe there's still light at the end of the tunnel, and I believe that with an aggressive effort on the part of you as citizens or beneficiaries, you can change it because they operate in such a fashion. The law is still there. You just need to be able to challenge them, and I honestly believe you could change DHHL overnight just by making requests that are very, very direct and specific. So the lease, again, is not, you cannot withhold the lease. That is this ruling. The records at issue in this appeal do not include the lease itself, which is made public without exceptions by Section 92F-A5 HR, Hawaii Revised Statute, and the information in the records goes well beyond the information in the lease itself. Thus, OIP looks to the UIP exceptions for privacy and frustration of a legitimate government function and concludes that DHHL properly withheld leases and other addresses, personal post office box numbers, employees, non-public direct telephone numbers, information about proposed but never completed lease transfer, financial information, and possible exceptions of the balance and status of the government, and a specified piece of information regarding a litigant. After that information is redacted, the remainder of the records must be disclosed because they do not fall under any exceptions to disclosure under the UIPA. So if you believe that you your parents had a lease or you were entitled to a lease or you were put in for a lease and you knew that the land was available, you put in for it and then you got screwed out of it, you can go and ask for these records and find out that, hey, the person that really got the lease is a friend of a friend or the cousin of William Isla or the cousin of Joby, or they may all be related, and so they gave their friends or relatives favor. You can find that kind of information out if that were to have taken place. Now, mind you, it's probably more pleasant than to go off to Africa and discuss their wars and their issues and their shortcomings or what's going on in Mississippi rather than staring Joby Masagatani or others that are contributing to your demise just equally as any other foreigner or anybody else, because to get screwed is to get screwed. It's that simple, unless you like to call the name. But again, this document, I'm so pleased with it. It does not give you everything, but the template is a law. And it says that this is the line that you must not tread on, DHHL. When the public want records, this is what you are steered by. You can't deviate. You can't create your own laws. You can't tell them, no, go away. You're not entitled to that. You must adhere to this. So for the beneficiaries out there that are willing to go and ask for these and pursue them, you have these rights. So in a request dated February 13th, requester, who is myself, asked the DHHL for access to copies of all notice of violations or warning letters, building permits, fines, email letters, or other written communications between the DHHL and Mrs. Flora and Malama Solomon regarding all DHHL leases held by the Solomons. I shouldn't really have to do this. I mean, Joby, being Native Hawaiian and being in the seat steering and being trying to right a wrong and treat people justly that have been unjustly treated, you would think I would be embarrassed if I was her that she wouldn't task herself with knowing what the rules are or adhering to the rules so that beneficiaries would benefit as she's supposed to do, not benefit the friends of the governor, the friends of people that she knows or those that are in the bourgeois class of this community, but to all people. The guy that drives a truck or that works on the back of the garbage truck, if he's entitled to Hawaiian land and he qualifies or he or she qualifies, then the theory should be, in my opinion, or the approach should be, I'm supposed to not serve as an obstructionist. I'm supposed to make sure that I do what is right by these people because they're beneficiaries. That's the whole purpose of the Department of Hawaiian Homelands. So I think, I could be wrong. You know, I'm always learning something new. What you think isn't really what it has anything to do with reality. The UIP does not require requesters to establish standing. And this is one of the things that they argued. DHL argued that the UIP exceptions for information whose disclosure would be an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy, Section 92F-13(1), Hawaii Revised Statute, applies to the withheld records that it owed a fiduciary duty to lessees, and that Section 10(1)(3)(d) of the Hawaii Administrative Rules also requires it to withhold, quote, personal data unless the lessee consents to its release. DHHL further argued that disclosure would frustrate its interest in, quote, fostering an open and honest communication with its homestead lessees, end quote, and that some portions of the records include lessees' confidential business information. So the OIP's response, and I apologize for this raspy throat and confusion, but I'm going to try to struggle through it. But the lessee argued that requester had no standing to request the records because he had not demonstrated a cogent reason for his request. This argument misunderstands the basic nature of the UIPA OIP rights, which applies upon request by any person and requires a disclosure of government records unless access is restricted or closed by law. In other words, requester was not obligated to establish any form of standing to make a request for government records. And his failure to do so does not present a basis for denying his access to the requested records. So I bring that up because Masagatani and her staff felt that just tell them anything. We are the law. We are above the law. We have a greater people to serve, not the Native Hawaiian people, but we have people that are in the Native Hawaiian community that know someone from out abroad that needs a favor or a fix, and that's who we are supposed to work by. That's who we are serving. We're not serving Mrs. Kaipo or someone else. We're serving those that got connections, brother. So go away, Carol Cox. You don't have a right to this. Well, the OIP says, well, no, the law says something different. Carol Cox and like the likes of him are entitled to these informations or data that is public record. But the willingness to tell me to go away and slam the door in my face and say, nope, you're an outsider. You ain't Hawaiian. Get out of here. Stay away. We only do things for those people that want to play. And you go away and you think, okay, you just said you want to dance with the devil, because there's nothing like having a cause to appeal a wrongdoing and having the wrongdoer to commit themselves to a certain action or acts that you can define, and then you can go and appeal it. And the outcome is now you got to live with, instead of treating me nicely and saying, okay, here's where you are, and we'll give you this, and we'll be polite about it. But I would not have known what they had or didn't have. But no, they just told me, go pound sand, get out of here, you're not getting anything. Well, that's the problem. There are certain things called these United States. And I, for some reason, I was lied to and said, that, boy, you have rights. And I tell you, I believe that. So the administrative rule, cited by DHHL Section 10.1.3 requires that it requires it to withhold personal data absent consent to its release by individual concern. However, Chapter 10 HAR does not include definition of personal data. See, they're telling me there's a rule and an exemption that they don't have to give me something, and the OIP is writing back and says there's no such law. Nothing covers it. OIP notes that historical notes for Section 10.13 indicates that it is intended to implement the UIPA and the statutory authority on which it is based. HRS statutory provision of the general application that predates the UIPA requires each agency to adopt a rule describing how the public can obtain information from the agency in formal and informal rules of practices and procedures used by an agency. It is well established that an administrative rule that conflicts with a statute, such as the UIPA provisions, is invalid. So I just love it when she and the others told me, just go away, you're not getting anything. Because I knew that if I got an appeal, I would have OIP to speak to every issue. Now, you, who don't have the time or the understanding or still learning these processes, you can take this document. They're going to be posted at carolcox.com and walk into them. And when they tell you, oh, no, bruh, you can't get that. You know more than the kind. No, I have the kind, and I know. And if you tell me, no, I'm not going to get it, then I want to have a letter from you telling me why I can't get it. And then I'm going to take that and march down to and appeal your decision, and then I will be enlightened. And I'll be equipped with a valid application of the law, not consistent with the practices that you folks practice here, hide and go seek. So, this is quite extensive, but mandatory disclosure of state leases. As a preliminary matter, OIP notes that Section 92F makes leases of state land public without exception. So the UIPA's privacy exception would not apply to such a lease. However, as the records at issue in this appeal do not include the DHHL lease itself, and the information contained in the appeal records goes far beyond the information contained in the lease, OIP will consider the applicability of the UIPA's exceptions to various information contained in the records. So the privacy, and this is item 4, the privacy section, the UIPA's privacy exception applies where an individual has a significant private interest in information that is not outweighed by public interest in disclosure. Where there is no significant private interest in the information in question, a, quote, scintilla of public interest, end quote, is sufficient to prevent finding that disclosure would be clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. I love it when people tell me no, man. No means go to me. Go and get another opinion. Because it's clear when you got a house of rats, you might be, if you knock on the front door and you see them all hustling to the back door, that's, you know where the cheese is, baby. And when they give you some, well, why can't I get the records? Because this is the exchange that I had with, why can't I get the records? I've asked you for these records. We cannot give them to you. Why? Because. Oh, really? Okay. So, again, imagine I'm persistent, but imagine you on a timeline trying to, you get out of the Army, you want to go back and, or you move back to Hawaii and you thought that you could have this land because you're entitled to it, you are, you meet the conditions of the, being a Hawaiian homeland recipient or beneficiary, but you get snagged. And now you get in this swirlpool of sinking feeling that you can't get anything right because they've given it to some other friend or some relative, assigned at least to someone else. So you can work around that, you see. So anyway, in other words, in the absence of significant privacy interest in the information, an agency may not withhold information based on UIPA's privacy exceptions. Where a significant private interest is present, the information may be withheld unless the public disclosure interest in the information is so great as to outweigh that significant privacy interest. And I again go on. I see some of you calling, and I'm just going to have to hold on, and we'll leave the next hour open. Legislative provided examples of information in which an individual has significant private interests include medical information, information identifiable as part of a criminal investigation, information about social services or welfare eligibility, personnel information, except for certain information about government employees. Individual financial information and social security numbers. OIP has also recognized that the application of the privacy exception to information such as date of birth, home contact information, and ethnicity. Because of large volumes of records at issue in this appeal and the variety of information reflected in them, OIP will address applicability of the privacy interests by categories of information found in the records. Man, I love this. This was like having Christmas come to me so early, and I just could not believe it. It was like one of the defining moments that I felt. I know that there's corruption in Department of Hawaiian Homelands. I know that it is sanctioned by even the top people. I know that Abercrombie's attorney general sat there, as you heard on this show, offered Michelle Kauhane money so that she could leave and give the whole process to Joby Masakatani, and they would take money out of the Hawaiian Homelands funds and then pay for her salary to work with the homeless with Colin Kippen. So I don't mind, and I know some of you are going, well, he shouldn't mind his own business. That's why they tried to murder him. But you see, when I turn on the airwaves and I hear locally everybody's talking about what's happening in Syria and how everybody's screwing and doing somebody in some other country, and in an entire people, a nation of people, whether we accept it as not as a sovereign people, the native Hawaiian, they are sovereign, they are native, they belong here, they own this land, and regardless what we think at all, But if we're not really willing to tell the truth and challenge the likes of Masagatani and her crew and all those people that come and supported her, then what good is it? Do we want to take that same milquetoasty aggressiveness that we talk about when we talk about national issues and dare not stare this one in the face and address these? So some of us are just downright stupid and willing to just continue to gnaw at your leg, because eventually justice can be had if we in fact just told the truth. Forget theories, forget the PhDs, forget all of that. Sometimes a drop of truth taken in and processed will generate fairness. No one will be perfect, but it'll set things on the right track. In this state, you have two factors that are working against the native people, in my opinion. That's OHA, which is a state agency, and the DHHL, which is a state agency. And God forbid, if you think you're getting anything from the Department of Interior, then I can tell you a bunch of Native American nations that can tell you a different story. So this OIP decision adds to the fabric or to the whole layout and might give you some quicker insight. And I meet many of the Native people and beneficiaries who say, I try to get this information, but they either tell me no, or it's going to cost me a couple thousand dollars, or I need to hire someone to get this information. That's an injustice right there, because you should be entitled to that information because you're a beneficiary and because you're a citizen of the state and you're entitled to the UIPA. So in this, they go on and say, the file includes correspondence regarding release of subsequently withdrawn of a lease to transfer her lease. OIP has recognized a public interest in disclosure of records showing that a completed transfer of land was done in accordance with relevant law. However, in this case, the request transfer, the lease was withdrawn, and no transfer occurred. OIP finds that lessee has significant privacy interest in information about the proposed lessee or lease transfer, which was essentially a matter of family succession, whereas there is no strong public interest in that information given that no transfer occurred. And I concur. I agree with that. COIP opinion letter 9119, OIP letter 9217, opinion that the public interest to be considered in balancing these interests in the public interest in disclosure of official information that sheds light on an agency's performance of its statutory purpose and conduct of government officials, or which otherwise promotes governmental accountability. Thus, OIP finds that the DHHL properly withheld the correspondence relating to the proposed transfer under the UIPA's privacy exception. The file includes discussions and negotiations between lessee DHHL personnel regarding various improvements being considered by lessee. A proposed parcel swap, cinder removal, and possible soil grading. None of these discussions include revealing personal information, and OIP cannot see a significant privacy interest in these negotiations, which parcel lessee held under state lease at a given time is clearly public record. So that's what we have, folks, and we'll pick up in the second hour, because I think this is the light that goes on in the kitchen and you see the cockroaches running. This is the light here, folks. You are entitled, and so often I get many requests from beneficiaries, Hawaiian beneficiaries, that I sit down and walk them through writing, or I will draft up a UIPA, a simple request, and then they go and ask this information. That's the best that I can do. I wish I had $60 billion to throw at you, but I don't. So we just have to go with what this is, a low-budget operation, you know. But we'll get there. A couple hundred years and another 80 directors that are willing to rip you off. But We'll be back. I'm going to see if this news works, and if it does, we're in good hands. If not, we're on our own. Just not working, but we'll play a little music.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Thank you. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
All right, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. You know, again, you can pick this up on the internet at carolcox.com, all podcasts. So if you go and says, what is that that guy said? You can always go back and hold me to my words. From the first day that we recorded a show, it's all there in archives, and it will play. And if it doesn't, I'm happy to send you a link. And again, you might want to tune in on weekdays at from 4 o'clock to 7 on Fridays especially. I'll be hosting Jeff Davis' show on from 4 to 5 this coming Friday. And occasionally I appear on John Nolan's show, the John Nolan Show, from 5 to 7 right here at KWAI. So we're trying to build a base of knowledge, and those are good shows. And of course, you're now listening to the Carol Cox Show on Sunday mornings, and this is where I get to sit down and show you my real stuff, how shallow some of my thoughts are, and then how in-depth some are. But at the end of the day, you'll know where I'm standing, and you'll know where I'm coming from. I don't want to send you a mixed message. It's about justice. If we're going to preach justice in other places and what we should do, and then we should hold our law enforcement, we should hold our government agencies accountable, because that's the only way a society has stability. We need to make sure that they do what's right. Some of us are willing to go to that extra step to make sure that they do. And I hope to be remembered as one of those people, however it may be or whatever the consequences. There's nothing like having truth and reminding government that it not only worked for you, but it works for you, and that you own it. If we can remind government entities just those basic facts, our lives would be a lot better. You know, they don't want socialism, but they want capitalism. But a government conflicts itself when it tries to manage everything from a capitalistic standpoint, but then don't want any social programs. So we're in a quagmire here. We're stuck. And we can build the middle class again and do all those things, but we're still stuck because we're conflicted in our approaches to things. And one of the things is we've taken the truth and that little nugget, and we've tarnished it with all kinds of acts of unjust and unfair treatments. And so we now got to live the consequences. You know, our government officials are recruiting high rises and all of that, but not thinking through things from a capitalistic standpoint. It looks good. It's perfect. But from a social impacts, what is it really doing? And so I beg all of you to look at your leaders out there, the ones that we elect, and make an assessment. Are they really leaders? Or are they agents of capitalistic approaches and capitalistic societies, and in doing so, not much sensitivity to people's needs, human needs, humanitarian needs. Yeah, companies give millions of dollars in donations, but they want billions back. So anyway, we're off record, but I was talking about the OIP and a decision with Hawaiian Homeland, and back to this. This is an opinion, a 9-page opinion piece that helps define now in writing, and you can use this as a tool at carolcox.com. I have it posted up there. And going back to the file includes correspondence regarding a request by lessee subsequently withdrawn the lease. The file includes discussions and negotiations between lessee and DHHL personnel regarding various property improvements being considered by lessee related to the rent. None of these discussions included revealing personal information. So the OIP said, regarding lease files for state land generally, which could be expected to include similar discussions between the lessee and an agency personnel, OIP has previously opined that such files should be disclosed after the redaction of personal information such as social security number, date of birth, and except in certain circumstances, ethnicity. Now, you know, ethnicity would be critical because if the DHHL is supposed to be serving its beneficiaries and the ethnicity, and I'm sure many of you out there have been browbeaten or feel that, well, you know, I don't want to be a racist and say that I'm Hawaiian and because that I don't want special favors. If you're entitled to it, if it's yours, and if the rest of the world is saying that we unjustly treated you, didn't treat you fair and violated your rights, overthrew your queen and took your land, and we're giving you a measly effort to try to get back, take it. It has nothing to do with you being a weaker person. Get it back as best as you can. That's my opinion. I wish I had my 40 acres and a mule, but it ain't happening. So, but again, don't be ashamed of trying. If I know it's a feeble attempt to try and seek justice and get justice, afford the native people justice, but take it. It's okay. That's the devil has said we'll try something, make things fair again. So take it. Don't buy into this, well, I don't want to be a racist and reverse discrimination. I want to earn everything I get on my hard work and merits. Well, good, too. Then you'll have a lot more than me because you'll have hard works and merit that you produce something, and then you got what was rightfully yours by law, by statute. So anyway, regarding leases for state and land generally, which could be expected to include similar discussions between lessee and agency personnel, the OIP gave some good opinions on this. The significant privacy interest in the correspondence and related records for discussing proposed property improvement, parcel swap and cinder soil removal, and related forms such as approval requests and building plans, those records cannot be withheld under the UIPA's privacy exemption. So in other words, there's cinder on some of this land and a cinder cone, and what if we rent that land, or lease that land from DHHL, and in there I start to mine it, and I start to bag up the cinder, and I start to sell it. I'm not saying that this is what happened on this Malama Solomon's property, but what if? And I believe that, or you as a native Hawaiian or whoever beneficiary says, well, wait, leasing the land is one thing, and you're supposed to be able to enjoy that, and we are supposed to afford you that opportunity. But when you start logging, or when you start cutting the core, or you start mining and harvesting cinder and making a huge profit, and should that be disclosed? Shouldn't I be able, as a person, a beneficiary of the Hawaiian Homelands Act, shouldn't I have a right to know? And shouldn't I have a right to have this information and go back to the government and say, wait, all of the beneficiaries should be benefiting from that. He's taking a resource, or she's taking a resource and selling it. Then that is not the quiet enjoyment of it. This is just a person mining and farming and what have you. A little different. So OIP said, no, you're right. The records should be available. It should be public. Portion of the file include financial information such as actual or estimated amounts spent on various improvements, discussions of lessee's request for assistance in obtaining a loan, and a statement of account for a loan. All of these carry significant privacy interests. For the actual estimated amount spent on various improvements, OIP does not find public interest in the information that would outweigh lessee's significant privacy. So this document serves to identify what the lessee can be protected against from a public records request, and it also defines what the public can have and expect. For instance, OIP does not find a public interest in the information that would outweigh lessee's significant privacy interest. If the loan was issued by a non-government lender, there was a debate, well, there was a loan and I don't think I should release it and you shouldn't be able to get it given to you. If the loan was issued by a non-government lender, the public interest in disclosure would not outweigh lessee's significant privacy interest in information about the loan. So discussion of the loan and the statement of account for the loan may be withheld under the UIPA's privacy exception. However, if the information relates to a loan issued by a government agency, the loan balance, aged account balance, past due by 30 or 30 more days, and any other charges due must be disclosed to the public. So in other words, if I were not, I'm using examples now, and I want to be very careful. This is nothing to do with the facts about the Solomons. But if I rent land and I'm getting a loan and I'm getting a loan from OHA and I'm getting a loan from DHHL and then I turn around and go back and ask for, that should be public records because, as an example, I may have been told that, no, we don't give loans for that. And then I would be able to show that, gee, here is a recipient of that same loan but declaring Native Hawaiian background. They received it. I didn't. So you can, it's a check and balance on government activity. However, if the information relates to the government agency, the loan balance and account must be. Thus, for a government issued loan, the loan balance and information about delinquent amounts and other charges cannot be withheld under the UIPA's privacy exception. But other financial information in the file may be withheld under the privacy exception. So again, take the document, and if you're inclined to find yourself needing some guidance and you don't have the money, this basically is a legal opinion. Not basically, it is a legal opinion. And you would be appealing to this office anyway. So tailor your requests to this document. The file includes correspondence and reports discussing lease conditions, violations, and whether structures on the property were consistent with existing permits and lease obligations. OIP has previously found a strong public interest in whether the conditions of a lease of state lands are being followed, outweighing a lessee's significant privacy interest in that information. OIP letter 321, although DHHL argued that such information was analogous to information from a criminal investigation file, a notice of lease violation is not a criminal proceeding. So, OIP instead follows its previous precedent, finding a strong public interest in whether the conditions of a lease of state land are being followed. The discussion and reports regarding compliance or noncompliance with lease conditions and legal status structure on the property cannot be withheld under UIPA's privacy. So far, Masagatani and anybody that comes along behind her willing to deny public records or conceal the actual behavior and activities of government, especially the DHHL, have a solid letter now and an opinion that says this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. We've graduated beyond that, no, you can't have anything by, see you. The file includes a reference to verifying lessee's ethnicity. Listen up, folks, because I get a lot of this. I alluded to it a bit earlier. The file includes a reference to verifying lessee's ethnicity. OIP has previously found that an individual's significant privacy interest in his or her ethnicity outweighed when that individual is a DHHL lessee. By the public interest in knowing that DHHL leases are being awarded to qualified individuals, OIP opinion, thus the reference to lessee's ethnicity insofar as it qualifies her for a lease cannot be withheld under the UIPA's privacy exception. And I was told, well, she's Native Hawaiian, and you're not. And you're not privy to that. We just can't be given. And in fact, they gave me an example. That's just like us telling you where all the graves are. The Evie, Kapuna Evie is buried. And because then people could go rob them. Really? Do I look like I want them to steal? I'm talking about the living, seeking justice for them. I'm not trying to be a grave robber or grave stealing artifacts. And we know that. But this is how absurd and how they treat you. So bring it on. And now we have a document here, and it would be the equivalent of having the appellate court appeal, and the decisions are here. The file includes correspondence regarding possible endangered plants on lessee's parcel and her willingness to allow inspection of the property. OIP finds that lessee's has no privacy interest in whether endangered plants grow on her property, and thus the correspondence on this subject cannot be withheld under the UIPA's privacy. And that was one of my concerns. If you were doing these activities and all of this, and are you protecting the endangered species and the plants that are found there? Well, you can't have that, because if we told you that, people will go out there and steal them and cut them and try to replant them and sell them. Really? Do I look like I'm a gardener? No. I'm just asking questions so that I can educate the public, the beneficiaries of these things. But this is how ludicrous and how cheap the DHHL treats this entire issue and the beneficiaries' needs. And anybody on the periphery that dare to ask questions get the same treatment. But it don't happen here at this bus stop. Some correspondence in the file relates to lessee's request to DHHL for additional land to be added to her current parcel. OIP has previously found that the names and application status of homestead lease applications still on a waiting list for land to be public based on high public interest in shedding light on DHHL's administration of the waiting list and a war at the homesteads. OIP 8904 letter, lessee's request for more land is equivalent to an additional homestead lease application in terms of its effect on DHHL administration of the waiting list and a war at the homestead lessees. And as such, there is a strong public interest in information about the request. Thus, the correspondence relating to lessee's request for additional land cannot be withheld under UIPA's privacy exemption. I like this. Sometimes government works, man. But what are we going to do? In a 1993 letter from DHHL advised lessee a recent theft in a specified area. No theft victims were identified, nor were any suspects given. No individual was identified as connected to the theft in any capacity. OIP finds that no conceivable privacy interest in DHHL's letter advising area lessees of theft. This letter cannot be withheld under the UIPA's request. See, I was asking for all of these because then I could take this information, put it up there so the beneficiary who does not have a lot of money and don't have a bourgeois friend, you know, that can pick up the phone and call, "Hi, Governor. How are you today? Aloha. I need this. And look, my son is going to go off to college, and he just needs to build his portfolio. You think you can hook him up with a job for 3 months, or give him a good letter?" See, there are some beneficiaries out there that don't rise to that level. They're human beings, and they're nice people, and they're deserving of the same thing anybody else gets. But in this town, there is the bourgeois who deny its own brothers and sisters. And then when they congregate and flock into the administrators' halls and hearings and being the kangaroo hearings, you know, like Masagatani's first hearing to get her approved, and they just dismiss those that objected. That's the reality, folks. Like me or not, that's the reality. There's many of you are getting ripped off and denied by plenty of those that are just playing out bourgeois and probably will give their soul to the devil and not think about the community as a native people. I'm just telling you it's real. Don't like it? Hit me in the head again. I don't care. That's the reality. We cannot solve these problems and see justice be afforded to all unless we speak all the truth. There's correspondence between discussing a concluded settlement agreement at DHHL and lessee. A settlement agreement with the state is a public record. The letter, OIP's letter, concluding that once all parties have settled, settlement agreements with state agency must be released. The reference and discussion of lessee's settlement agreements with DHHL cannot be withheld under UIPA laws. But they told me, oh, we don't have to give you those. That's legal advice. That's a matter that, no, it's all. But if I had stood there and became as ignorant and as conniving as they were, they could pick up the phone and call one of their corrupt agents that were taking bribes, land agents, and have them to hit me over the head again or shoot me. You see, this is the kind of elements that are housed within the... And I've written this, and I filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office, and it went nowhere, even with the witness statement and the guy that gave the bribes. They did nothing. So if you think I'm swimming upstream, imagine you, who's rightfully deserving something and have the rightful ownership but can't get it. Because sandwiched in between what's yours and you is a corrupt system called the DHHL. In a letter dated September 26, 1998, lease selectees giving litigation update, an opposing party identified in the letter, an individual has a significant privacy interest in the third paragraph of the letter that set forth primary information about opposing party himself, and OIP does not find a public interest, and it outweighs his significant privacy interest. The third paragraph may be therefore redacted. See, they didn't say the letter that I sought could be withheld. They said a paragraph in the letter identifying a certain individual could be blackened out or redacted. But they must. Finally, the correspondence include post office box addresses, including lessees, as well as what may be direct phone lines of government personnel. And you might want to take note of this one. Post office boxes, addresses are not obviously business addresses, such as lessees may be withheld under the UIP privacy exemption. Direct phone lines of government, listen up now, direct phone lines of government personnel may be withheld if those numbers have not previously been made public. So the way around that and the way you address that is that you go and get their directory and you say, okay, this directory, is it public? Yeah. So is that your number? Yeah. Okay, then I don't need to file a letter. It's already here in the book. So let's not make it too difficult on ourselves. DHHL, on frustration of legitimate government function. Then this, listen up now. This is what they love to do. Oh, it's going to interfere with government operations. Could possibly, if in this case, ladies and gentlemen, or listeners out there, that is one of the most accurate statements I've ever heard from government, that they argue that it's interest in fostering open and honest communication with the lessees, frustration of legitimate government function. That's a bona fide reason, but here's the problem. You must first conclude or draw the conclusion or be able to that the activities being conducted by DHHL is legitimate. Just because they open their doors at 8 to 5 does not be the fact that they're not operating legitimately. They're backdooring. They're underhanded. They're giving sweetheart deals. They're ignoring the law. So it wouldn't frustrate that kind of activity because it's probably all corrupt and illegal anyway. And that's why you're asking for public records. So they say that it would foster an honest communication with the lessees, including fostering self-reporting by lessees and voluntary correction of potential lease violations, right? would be frustrated if its correspondence with the lessees could not be generally withheld. DHHL contends that if lessees' private or personal issues expressed in correspondence can be made public and perhaps discussed in the media, they will be unwilling to communicate frankly with the DHHL. Is that cool? That's a bunch of malarkey. As to the lessees, this is what OIP said. As to the lessees' private or personal issues, OIP believes that the frustration interest of DHL proposes is coextensive with lessees' privacy interests. In other words, where information about a lessee falls under the UIPA's privacy exception, DHHL likewise has a legitimate interest in keeping that information confidential, which would be frustrated by its disclosure. However, as previously discussed, the bulk of the information at issue is this in this appeal does not fall under the UIPA's privacy exception. With the exception of limited information as outlined above, the correspondence and related records do not include intimate information about lessee's family, medical conditions, or other personal information that would fall under the UIPA's privacy. Thus, they also cannot be withheld based on DHHL interest in keeping lessee's private information confidential. If it is such a joy to being misread by people, and it's such a joy not to have an ego when you're dealing with crooked people, because if you got an ego, then you're just ego to ego. But if you go in and rely on your intellect and your knowledge, you'll get many of these documents because you don't challenge them, because you can't challenge corruption, but you can expose it. And this is what I try to do in this process by filing that request and purposely placing and writing this letter in a fashion that simple, more specific, knowing, and I'm a little aware of some of the rules already, but the intent was to try and get some document produced so that you, the beneficiary, would have something and you don't have to pay $1 billion to a lawyer to get it. You can take this document now and say, well, I want this, but how does it concur? Is it consistent with what this letter says? And so OIP does find cogent DHL arguments that it has a legitimate interest in fostering self-reporting by lessees, end quote, in an appropriate case where the records show that a lessee had approached DHHL to self-report a potential violation and proceeded to voluntarily correct it, DHHL could potentially use the frustration exception as a basis to withhold that information. However, the records at issue in this appeal do not indicate such self-reporting by lessee. And OIP cannot conclude that DHHL's interest in fostering self-reporting violations would allow DHHL to withhold discussions of lessee's compliance with lease conditions in their entirety. Thus, OIP finds that DHHL's frustration argument does not apply in this case. Not only are they willing to deny me my rights under an existing law, they go further to create law and imaginary situations. You know, if I ask for records and the circumstances permit me to get those records, don't go and create what if. And this is what the DHHL is. This is what corruption breeds. This is how you can, the first stench, you know, what does this corruption look like? Well, behavior. That's how you tell corruption, you see. You start to see the little sleazy actions in the responses that you, what do you mean you protecting a deal that you're working on and he's self-reporting? Well, that's funny. Then all we would need is a chief of police for all of our police agencies, because everybody that's violating, well, I intend to, I know you said that I'm robbing a bank, but I'm going to stop. Really? Okay, well, I understand he was stealing from the World Bank. Well, can't give you that because he's decided that he's going to stop. I mean, that's facetious, but but you get the idea. This whole process is, in fact. DHHL argued that specific information in certain letters fell under the frustration exemption. Business information, including discussion of the carrying capacity of various lots, an agriculture report, lessee's plans for ranching on the property. OIP has set out in past opinions, when information is considered confidential business information whose disclosure would frustrate a legitimate government function and thus may be withheld. And it goes on, OIP therefore finds it cannot withhold information based on confidential business information, form of frustration. See, even they tried to protect their buddies. So now, if you want to know what is going on with the business, if they're paying the DHHL fair market price for the land or whatever, you have a right to it. It's in this document. They say it. They say that you have a right to have it under public disclosure. So the conclusion is, DHHL may redact lessees and other addresses, personal post office box numbers, employees' non-public direct telephone numbers, information about a proposed but never completed lease transfer, financial information, blah, 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 and specified piece of information regarding litigant. After that information is redacted, the remainder of the records must be disclosed because they do not fall under any exception to disclosure under the UIPA. Requester is entitled to seek assistance from the courts when requester has been improperly denied access to a government record. HRS 92F-42-1-202. An action for access to records is heard on an expedited basis. I'm not going to tax the DHHL and file a legal action. My purpose has been served. I know what the rules are anyway. And I have a common expectancy to, I'm not being irrational, and so, but this was done for the beneficiary out there who dare to question these agencies, or especially the DHHL, and you want to have a template or you want to be educated on what you can rightfully acquire. Here it is. It's in my hands and be in your hands if you'd like to have it. And 524-1080 is the number if you want to call in for questions or comments or tell me, go fly a kite. Well, it's not windy today, so you can hold that one. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning.
Oh, hi.
This is wonderful. How long did all this take? And what it seems to me after listening that they, according to this ruling, they've now exposed a whole lot more than if they'd just given you what you requested.
They didn't do nothing. I did that.
I'm saying that by the ruling.
I know. I'm saying they didn't. I knew what was what I'm legally entitled to, and the purpose was, you know, to get it in hand, an actual document. So when they, I was so overjoyed when they told me, you ain't getting anything. I was like, wow. I must have that Mississippi dumb look on my face because you just misread my looks, baby. And I will file this appeal, and I think you will regret it because it lays it out. And it wasn't for me. I mean, you know.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that it opened the door. If they had just said, okay, here, Mr. Cox, take this and go away. This ruling opens the door to much wider than they would have ever dreamed.
Well, I just jokingly would say that was their assessment. I wouldn't go away anyway.
No,
you know, I mean, these are the same people that try to murder me. So I'm not going away. You know, it's just the way it is. It's justice is justice, and so I hope that this document is received by people because there's some things in there. It says what they can do and what they can't do, and it's clear. But I did that and pursued that because I meet many beneficiaries, Native Hawaiians, who are just completely disenfranchised and denied their rights, the basic rights for information. We got the Hawaiian Homeland Commission, you know, pick and choose a name or a number. What is the commission for if it's steered by the governor or the governor who appoints someone that's part of the bourgeois? Right?
Yeah. We know that corruption is there, but to see it laid out like this, you know, is wonderful. I love it.
I held on to this, and I just want to make sure that people understand where I'm coming from, and that when you see an entity that is supposed to do what's right, my neighbors have an obligation to see that the DHHL functions right. They're not Native Hawaiian, but they are, quote, American citizens, and they're taxpayers. So we have a right to expect government to do what's right and operate in a legal fashion, not in a way that you give to your friends or politically connected people. That's not right. That's not going to build a good community. And when we have federal law and state law says the beneficiaries are entitled to these things and here's how it should be delved out and operated and here's to meet these conditions to be a recipient, you must adhere to these rules. And that's just the way it is. But I'm hoping that it plays out that way.
Well, you did a great job, and I am very pleased to hear all of this. And whomever you were working for, whoever you had in mind, they really got a jewel.
Oh, this was you mean a specific family?
Yes.
No, this was done, you know, some of us don't have $1 billion to give and call myself, call up and say, hey, send my plane over there and bring a couple of the Native boys over here and we're going to have a fundraiser. I don't have that. Don't want that. What I want is to have the elements that will stimulate and be able to reach back and use my talents and my insight to just basically present this as a tool and implement so that they can incorporate, the Native people, the Hawaiian community, or anyone, can use this information to advance their cause, not be held hostage at the front door, you see, because the people that are chosen to, you know, to head these agencies won't say they're not qualified. They are qualified because you have to be qualified and willing to screw the people in order to get appointed.
Given what agency this is and why it was set up for the Native people who have already been ripped off, it is just awful to think that your own people, and I know it happens not just with the Hawaiians.
It happened with human beings. I mean, it's a fault. It's a flaw in the human behavior, period. It doesn't have to be. It's just something that's innate with and to be expected in the human population. Screw he before he screw me.
Okay.
You know, he got something that I want, so I'm going to take what he got before he know what he got. Because, you know, and then I'll make him work for me and come over and shine it. I'll steal it from him and then pay him $5 a year to come and polish it up for me. You see, that's the cruelty that we're witnessing in this DHHHL. You know.
Did Malama Solomon do something on the land?
Oh, did a lot. That was the whole purpose. But the question is now, the takeaway of this, and I'm going to go, is real simple. After receiving this, and I purposely waited now. See, I made the request, and they've made their findings, and they've made their rulings, right? So I should have received this was on June 30th, 2015. So July went by. August went by. Now, because they deny me those records, I'd already made a public request. You would think a decent administrator, or maybe it's a sore loser, would have said, well, he made these requests, we denied him, so notify him that we have an opinion piece here, that we're going to concur and comply, and give him the documents. That's all that should have happened. So, but it didn't. But it's okay. But anyway,
they still haven't given you the documents?
Nah. This is Hawaiian homelands, man. They're probably still trying to figure out now. Going, well, he's African American, so he ain't entitled to these documents. Well, no, you know what? He is. The OIP ruled that it is, but this is the silliness that you see that's pervasive and present and within these state agencies. So anyway, I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Howard?
Yes.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine.
I called you, man, your research is like unbelievable. Man, I need a copy of September 6th. I gotta have a copy of that for my archives.
September 6th?
Yes, your show was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent.
Oh, you mean you want a copy of the show?
Yeah, the lecture.
You can get it. It's online. You can just download it there if you'd like to. Or if have the means, I can mail you a copy.
Yes, I would love that very, very much.
You got email?
Oh, you mean email? I thought you meant.
No, I mean if, or you can email me your address and, or send me a. You got a pencil, real quick? Or...
Yeah, I do. I'll get a pencil. Yeah.
Okay. Or you can call me back off air, and then I'll give it to you if you want.
Okay.
Call me back at 782-6627.
782-6627. Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right.
And I hope that you can hear me off there. But anyway, this document that I did in 2013 is when I filed this request for the information. And if any of you out there needing some guidance, I'm not an attorney. All that I'd be telling you is how basically to write a letter. And when you write a letter for an agency giving information, understand you have a right to just walk in normal business hours under the OIP and request records. But just know that if they're hiding something or you're dealing with a corrupt administrator, then you're going to be hoodwinked and it's going to be met with some trickery. So the best thing to do is not be needing these things in desperation or walk in and you need it right now. So try to present. They have 10 days generally to respond, 20 days. I usually give them a month because before I start to complain, because there's all kinds of exemptions and they can send you a response in the news and or in the emails and you don't get it and it don't come through, some crazy stuff that they'll. So the best thing to do is that if you want to know the number of leases, for example, at Hawaiian Homeland and how many were given in the last year and how many people submitted. So don't write a letter saying, I want to know all the emails, all of the leases and the application that you received. So you want to start with a time and a time frame. So you're managing it. So you want to, and if you know it's on December 15th, 2012, go back and because it may have been stamped on December 15th, 2012, but they may have received it in August, early in the month. So give yourself a couple months ahead and just say, I'd like to have copies of identifying all leases or applications received from August 2012 to present. And that way you're narrowing it down. If you try to get the whole kitchen sink and the kitchen and all that in the refrigerator and all, you're going to get back a statement after they waited a while saying you need to narrow your requests or tailor your requests. Call a good morning. Go ahead real quick.
Hi, Carol, real quick. You just changed the subject. You were talking about the air conditioning in the classrooms. And, you know, I would think this might be a very economical, simple way to do it. Just have solar panels, you know, and then in the daytime, making it hot, and then air conditioner.
Mm-hmm. You're breaking up that day real bad. I barely can. I hear solar something, and then it's about it.
Okay.
But I get the gist of it. Solar panels.
Yeah. You don't even have to install it. The new system. You know, it seems very simple and very, very economical.
Or what could happen is that they can get their heads out of the sand and stop trying to build the athletic fields and track fields and spend the money where it's that directly affects the education of the kids, right?
Oh, of course.
I mean, why not, if we're that desperate, why not have three or four fields strategically placed, and the students go there rather than trying. I know that in a self-identity and what have you for each school, independent. But when children can't go and be in a condition to learn,
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry. I think there's somebody's making money in this thing with coaches and the football teams, and everybody's getting this and that. And I think there's some money that this whole effort needs to be revisited and assessed as to what is really going on, that we would spend that much money while there are more critical needs of being unattended.
Yeah, it's a matter of priorities. It always is.
Yeah.
And, anyway, I just wanted to put that little
All right. Well, thank you.
Have a good day. And by the way, this is wonderful that you've gotten these documents that, you know, the Hawaiian Homelands Commission.
Yeah.
Okay. And keep up your good work, as usual.
Thank you, Dave. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha.
So, guys, the trick here is, as far as the UIPA, it's the Uniform Information Practices Act, you can go to oip.hawaii.gov and actually print off the form. Now, most agencies, some of them will allow you to just write a simple note saying, under the Uniform Information Practices Act, I make this request for specifically what it is you want. And then you sign and date it, and you deliver that to them by whatever means, by email, or some want you to actually fill out the form. It varies. And then some want you will pay for each document. Some say 25 cents for the first page and 5 cents for each page thereafter. The city, if they want to put the screw to you like the evil rats that they are, it varies. $1 for each page, and then we'll get it to you when we can. So it varies. So what I've learned is that the guy that really is ripping the public off is the one who creates the greatest obstacles. So that's just a little word, a little notice. So anyway, I appreciate you guys joining me, and hope to see you next week, and we'll talk again.
To walk with all by myself, no one to talk with. I'm happy on the shelf, ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. I know for certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting, you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Like Jack Horner, sitting in the corner, don't go nowhere, what do I care? Your kisses are worth waiting for, why don't you believe? I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home at 8, me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving all my love for you. Misbehaving, ain't misbehaving, saving all my love for you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.